What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another edition of the Nine Circles Audio Thing. First off, we hope everyone is well and safe and washing your hands. Let me reiterate, wash your hands. Anyway, we got a good edition for you this time. We got an interview between Buke and guitarist, founding member, and primary songwriter Matt Rees of Traveler. Now, Traveler's got a new album coming out next month called Termination Shock, so obviously that was a big point of discussion. They also covered being abroad at the outset of a pandemic, recording at home, and so much more. So head inside. Hello, this is Buke from Nine Circles, and I am joined by Matt Rees, the guitarist of Traveler, Canadian true metalers, one of my favorite bands in metal today. I would still say a hidden gem in the metal world. And you know what? Since it's a quiet news day, you know, I just left a quiet movie theater, you know, a jam-packed mall. I was out with my friends at parties over the weekends. You know, I didn't think of anything else to talk about. I thought, hey, why don't I talk metal with one of my favorite bands and one of my favorite guitarists in metal today? But hell, who am I kidding? You ask some people, the world's coming to an end right now. Matt, how is everything going today, brother?
That's good, man. We just got back from Paris yesterday, and it's... I guess we came just hours away from being trapped there for like a month, so I'm fucking thankful that we're here. So.
Yeah, I'm not one to do a lot of social media now, but, you know, prepping for this, I, you know, checked your guys' Facebook page, and it looked like you guys did a Facebook post that's like, it almost seems like a war was about to break out, and you're like, sorry, but we need to, like, leave now.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it went down, man. I mean, like, everything was going good. It was getting worse about halfway through the tour, and from then it snowballed. There, every 6 hours, there was something awful that we were hearing about, and we were wondering what the fuck's going on, you know. And then, and then we decided to pull out of the Poland dates. And it's a good thing we did, because I think we probably would have got stuck in Poland.
Yeah. Now, for those people just tuning in, Traveler, you guys are from Canada, all different provinces and all around, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Based out of Alberta, Edmonton, and then JP, our singer, he's kind of all over the place, but he's originally from Michigan.
Okay. So yeah. I guess we'll claim him, which I don't mind because his vocals are amazing. when, you know, since it's so in the news right now, and it's interesting because I don't know if I ever get to talk to another, if I ever in my 37 years of living, I've never experienced anything like this. Not to speak for you, but I'm sure you probably never experienced anything like this, pandemic wise.
Nope.
How was it being over in Europe when all this, like, did you guys start hearing rumors of this? Like, when did you guys start to realize, like, hey, there's something kind of happening here?
It probably started happening about the moment we got into Germany.
And that was about when? Because we're recording this March 17th right now. We talking maybe a couple weeks back?
Yeah, about, I would say, honestly, it started getting really bad about a week ago.
Okay.
There was little glimpses of it here and there, but we didn't really think it was going to snowball into what it is right now. So we just went about our day, you know, just hoping for the best and having fun at the shows and meeting everyone and whatever, right? But Weimar, when we were in Weimar, that's when we started hearing some really bad news. And especially for our driver, Jacopo, he's from Italy.
Oof.
So he was on tour just doing his job, you know, and he was keeping us up to date on everything that was going on. And he was really putting into perspective of just how bad it was, especially for him and his family. And by the time we canceled the Poland dates, I mean, he was like, he just said, I have to go home right now. And I don't know how I'm going to get home because all of his flights were getting canceled. Trains were getting canceled. Borders were closed. And he was freaking out too, you know. So we had to get him out of there. And he got home safely. But from what he told us, he had to sneak into a friend's trunk to get back into the country.
Jesus!
Yeah, so we're really glad that he made it back, but yeah. It was getting really bad, so we're hearing everything up to date, and it, like I said, I mean, like, every 6 hours we heard something worse and worse, and it got to the point where we were told to go home, you know? So that's what we had to
do. Okay, now flying back home, are you guys now, like, is the country mandating you guys kind of quarantine yourselves, like self-quarantine type of thing, to be safe? Or
Under government regulations, we got to be quarantined for 14 days now. A lot of people got laid off. People are losing their jobs left, right, and center. You know, it's just like, it's shitty times for a lot of people. So we're just taking it day by day right now, man. We don't really know what other shitty news we're going to hear today or even later on today. Like, but, yeah. I mean, fuck, man, what do you do?
Exactly. This is uncharted territory that, again, we've never seen before. Like, yeah, I was mentioning I'm a father of a little kindergarten. My daughter's school here is canceled for at least 2 weeks. And there's talk now that the governor, you know, may cancel school the rest of the year. So it's like, she's just a little kindergartner, but it's like, my God, what does that do? And then, you know, the ripple effect, how's that start to affect next year? This is all uncharted territory for everybody.
Yeah, like my girlfriend, she's a school teacher as well. So really unfortunate for her, she's out of work for the foreseeable future. We have no idea how long. It kind of worked in our favor a bit. To now, I can just come home because she's going to be quarantined anyways. So I may be able to at least get home. But a lot of the guys in Riot City, a couple of the guys in Traveler aren't able to do that. They have to go somewhere else.
Now, so, they here in the States, I don't know how Canada's been in a bunch of different countries are doing different things, you know, on different levels. They're saying here in the States, you know, the CDC, the Centers for Disease, is recommending, you know, no large gathering. I think, again, this is not medical advice. It's just what I think I've heard. You know, no crowds more than 10 or more. To the point where, like, Code Orange, they did their record release party show without an audience the other day, and they live streamed it. If this continues moving forward, Matt, and you guys, you know, we're talking because this is on the verge of your guys' new album. I should have said this at the start. My apologies. Termination Shock. Your guys' second full length is about to release a banger of an album, the follow-up to your guys' self-titled album. Have you guys, if this continues, have you guys as a band even had a moment? I'm not to speak for you, but I'm sure you guys haven't even thought of it, is that, hey, what do we do if this maybe goes on another couple months? We're out there playing shows and playing gigs. Because I know as a band, that's kind of like, you know, your guys' lifeblood of being in a band.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, we're all staying pretty optimistic about it. Like, I really have a hard time believing it's going to just close down completely for very long. If it closes down for the rest of the year or whatever, I mean, that sucks, but the beauty about music, man, is you can't really take that away from anybody, so we can keep writing, we can keep releasing shit,
yes,
as much as we want. So, you know, even if the live performances are comprehended or compromised, we can still fucking write music and put it out for people.
Hey, exactly. Look at Tumult. They're a perfect example. When it comes to putting out music, they show you that you can put out a new album every year and still have it sell.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's not going to change, you know. Yeah. I mean, the whole creative process isn't going to change. if anything, we'll have more time to write music.
Yeah. So, you guys self-titled. I have said on various interviews and podcasts and stuff before, I am constantly on Bandcamp. A bunch of my friends, you know, in the metal community, we're really active on there. How I found you guys is I'm really active on Reddit. And on Reddit, you guys are like the love child of the metal subreddit. Like, they love you guys there.
Cool, man. I actually know... I don't really follow Reddit, so that's kind of cool to hear.
Yeah, it was. They actually have like a voting. They do it every quarter, like a year-end voting. And you guys, from when your self-title came out, you guys were always at like the album of the year, voting-wise, the whole time, pretty much.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
So tell me a little bit about the history. How did you, I know this is a boring question for some people, but, you know, with... death metal and black metal is starting to see a resurgence and a popularity, especially like old school death metal. There's also been this resurgence of like traditional, just classic metal, like you guys play, which is my favorite coming back. How did Traveler come about? And how did you guys more so land on this sound to start playing with?
I don't know, man. Well, it's kind of to take it back. I mean, I've been doing traditional metal for a good 10 years with my other bands, you know.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird that this is the one that took off. Yeah. Well, with my other projects, I joined in. My other band, Gatecrasher, I joined in a little bit late on that one until we started writing albums together. And so that sound was already envisioned before I got there. And you know, I love beer drinking satanic speed metal everyone else, you know, so that shit was fun to write for. And then my other band, Hrome, which is more traditional power metal, like Halloween and shit, that's like, they already had an album out before I joined, so their vision was already in place before I started putting my creative input. But there was lulls in between each band to where I was getting like antsy, you know, like I wanted to create more stuff. I wanted to do more. And with the extra time that I had, I just started writing, you know. I was like, I just want to see what I can do on my own and just see if people like it. People don't like it, who gives a shit? I just recorded it and it's on YouTube and, you know, whatever, right? So I did the demo and... I got Jan Lonchik, who is in my other band, Hrome. He's like a virtuoso, like good at everything kind of guy. So I just got him to do the drums for that and record it. And I needed a singer, so I did some searching around. And I knew JP for a number of years just through Gatekeeper, Funeral Circle, and Borrowed Time, and just playing gigs together through over the years. And I just wanted to ask him for fun, because I like his voice and I like him. He's a really good dude. So just on a whim, I was like, hey, man, do you want to come sing on these demo tracks? And I bought him a bus ticket to Calgary.
That's awesome.
And then we just recorded it over a weekend and put it up on YouTube just to see if people like it. Turns out people like it.
You know, it always amazes me when I hear something like that, because... you know, I've heard other artists, you know, bigger, very successful bands that in other genres, be it R&B or other things, that sometimes it's just like a perfect storm how they were found and stuff like that. And I love Bandcamp, but at the same time, I also hate it in the fact that like there is so much going up on Bandcamp or YouTube every day that if you guys may have just posted when a lot of other content was getting posted, it easily could have been passed over.
So definitely, man. There's such like oversaturation, and unfortunately, oversaturation of good music too. You know, there's so much good stuff, and there's a lot of trash you got to fucking dig through. But you know,
and Matt, and that's what that's. I'm glad you just said that. That's oversaturation, because why? you know, while I love you guys and like Reddit loves you guys, like no, this is not knocking my fellow editors and writers and podcasts here on Dead Nine Circles, but to a lot of my fellow podcasters here or other people in the male community, they don't know who you guys are. Or I was at an Opeth show. Opeth is my favorite band. I was at an Opeth show a couple weeks ago. I was wearing a Chemist shirt. I love Chemist. They're one of my favorite bands. They play a traditional doomy heavy metal for people who haven't heard them. And to me, like Chemist, while I love them and they were my favorite album of a couple years ago, their Haunted album, they're to me still like a hidden gem in this oversaturated metal world.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's hard to break through. And so, the fact we even got noticed the way that we did is insane to me. You know, I never expected that.
So you look here, you know, looking at Bandcamp, you know, it looked like your guys' self-titled was supported really well. What is that something that Bandcamp as the artist, does Bandcamp really allow you guys as the artist to really like see the metrics behind it? That, hey, look, this is starting to take off, or there is starting to see some talk or
Yeah. They're like when you have your music up there, you can look where people found your link, where people clicked, and kind of like different graphs of like different locations of the world where people are clicking. So it does give you a full view of how it works. But you know what, man? Like Anderson Tiago of that New Wave of Traditional Heavy Metal page on YouTube, I credit him a lot for how people noticed us. Because his page is followed by, you know, all the diehards that love that shit. So
yeah,
he just posted the demo, and it took off from there, right? So without his help, him posting it, I don't know if it would have caught on the way it did.
I got you. Now, again, Termination Shock, you guys are about to release, comes out April 24th. When did you start to write this? Because this is, again, just after your follow-up that came out last year.
Yeah, well, I had a couple songs that I wasn't quite finished yet for the first album. So I had a lot of ideas, too. So being able to write those, or given the time that I was able to finish writing those, Dave Arnold also contributed a song, the last song, Terra Exodus. He contributed that. JP... wrote almost all the lyrics on the album too, and John Pierre Fortin of Def Dealer gifted us a song of his,
which one
that one's STK.
okay,
so he wrote that one for Def Dealer back in the day, and we developed a relationship with him, and he gifted us one of his songs. So it's, the band works as a full unit now. So, like, before it was just me writing everything for the first album. But now with everyone on deck, the second album came together pretty quickly, you know, so.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm sure, you know, this description I'll use here, like, my dogs. Like, when they hear a high-pitched sound or something, your head kind of does that 45 tilt, like, what did I just hear? When I'm listening to your album, I got the track 4, Diary of a Maiden. That solo at the end blew my fucking head apart. Oh, that is beautiful. Oh, is that, like, literally, I was like, I'm listening, you know, like a lot of time, you know, like I'm just listening. And there's so much music that comes through my ears now with promos and stuff. A lot of it doesn't register, but I heard that and I'm like, Like, wow. Amazing. Shit. Amazing. Cool. Amazing. Amazing.
That was actually the last solo I recorded for the album.
Really?
Yeah, that was the last one. And I was actually like, I was feeling a little gassed of ideas, because I was seriously just sitting in front of the fucking computer recording every day after work, you know, to get it done.
Yeah.
So by the time that one came around, I mean, I kind of write on the fly, you know, like I try to improvise as much as I can until I write something I like. And that was was the one where I wasn't sure. I was just like, fuck, this sounds pretty cool. Let's roll with this. You know, I wasn't sure if it was going to sound good. So thanks for liking it.
Oh man, I absolutely love it. I tell you, the reason why I love this kind of music and like the solos and the lyrics, this is just like you said, that beer drinking good music. This is I can't drink because of my health issues, but this is just the type of music that just this is just good fist pumping heavy metal music. Yeah, this is why we became metalheads, if you ask me, for music like this.
Well, when you get like Maiden tattooed into your brain when you're like 12 years old, you know, it's kind of hard to have not have that kind of stuff come out, you know. So yeah. I've always wanted to create the stuff that gave me goosebumps when I was first discovering all this stuff, you know. So
have you now? You mentioned it with your other bands, and you said one of them was more of like a traditional power metal. Is it Hrom?
Hrom.
Is there any other genres or anything that maybe you thought of like dipping a toe into? Could we maybe hear you on like a death metal project? Could we maybe hear you on like a, or that doesn't interest you?
Yeah, I think that'd be really fun, man. Maybe in time. I mean, Jan's like a huge death metal guy. I don't know. The options are always there, man. I love death metal and I love blues too, you know. I've always kind of, like, whenever I'm kind of noodling around at home, I noodle with some blues stuff, too. I don't know if that would ever come to be, but, I mean, I don't know. I like fucking with everything, man. It's fun.
You know what, Matt, though? In this digital world, that's cool because, I've talked to various artists in the past. You could connect to somebody from somewhere who you never, ever meet, and you could put any project together you want. So,
yeah, totally.
There's a couple guitar players on staff here, and I know a bunch of our listeners are artists and stuff themselves. Unfortunately, myself, I have the musical talent of a newborn baby. I could be able to just bang on pots and pans, and that's my musical talent. But for those of people who are artists here, what's your rig like? Let's get some real technical talk. What are you playing on? Your pedals, your amp, your guitar?
I keep it pretty simple, man. But there's two guitars that I go for. One main one in particular is my Kramer Beretta. Okay. It's like a late 90s model. It was kind of weird. I couldn't find much on it because I bought it secondhand. I traded in a Fender Strat for it because I just wasn't really liking it too much, and I found that at the store. It has quad rails in it, which you don't really see too often, and it's like a late 90s model of a Kramer Beretta, and it plays better than like anything I've ever played, and it's not even that expensive of a guitar, but I don't know, there's something special about that one. And my other guitar is a Jackson RR1, which is like a, you know, anyone that knows it, it's like a $3,000 instrument, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't play as well as my Kramer for some reason. It, I don't know, but that one I do love a lot just because of the Floyd and the perfections on it. And as far as amps go, I just have like a PV5150, like the EVH3. And with live, I add a little bit of Fender delay in the background, and I just use an equalizer pedal just to boost the volume for the solos. But that's it. It's pretty simple. There's no huge pedal board or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm always amazed with pedals, like what you guys are able to do with them and what, you know, technology, like the sounds that you guys can get from a pedal. And yeah, you know, I'm kind of naive, I guess, to so many different bands and genres simply just being defined by a pedal or a kind of uniform tone that comes through the equipment you guys use.
Yeah, I mean, there's that too, and a lot of it comes out of your fingers too, you know, like
of course
you could play out of someone else's finely tuned pedal board, and it could sound completely different just because it's you playing it, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm not much of a gearhead, man. Like Torian, our other guitar player, he knows all of that shit. He's a big nerd with all that. So he loves his pedals and his rigs and toying around with different combinations and that. I'm a little more straightforward. I just want to plug in and go, you know. So
yeah. So when you mentioned earlier, when you're home noodling around, do you take advantage of modern technology? Do you plug into like a desktop or a laptop or an iPad or anything and record that way? Or
yeah, we got a little home rig in my spare room that we just set up like direct input with our chosen amps plugged into it, and then it's just really easy to work from home that way.
Okay.
From that kind of setup, I mean, you can get any sound you want. It's not the most organic way to do it. I really like to record an album actually miking up amps, but this way is really effective too, and it just works for budgeting, you know. I mean, it's so expensive to record an album, but it's not when you just do it from home. So
yeah,
and that's what we've done for the last couple albums.
But doing it from home, like I've seen people do video editing and stuff, is I guess what I'm asking here is, recording an album for you, is it like a love-hate process, like, or do you, or is it like super stressful, or because you're maybe a perfectionist with it, or do you just have fun with all of it and kind of making it sound perfect? Because right. I could imagine if you are a perfectionist, it's a terrible process because it probably never sounds good enough for you. But, you know, eventually you do have to say, I'm done.
Yeah, it's all of the above, man. Everything you just said.
Yeah.
I have a lot of fun doing it because it's kind of funny with the way this band works, since we all live in different cities. I don't really hear how the song's going to sound until we start recording it a lot of the time. Like, we do jam these songs first, too, but a lot of the time I don't hear how it's going to sound until we start recording it. And when something comes together perfectly, I mean, that's where I get a chill up my spine, where I'm just super stoked, you know, to finally hear it the way it's meant to be heard. So all of that is amazing, and I love that.
Now, how often, you just touched on it, how often are you guys able to get together and practice?
Not often, man. Not very often. Probably once a month, maybe.
Wow.
If that.
Wow.
Maybe not even. Especially with JP living in the States. I mean, the rest of us can get together about once a month, but with JP in the mix, it's usually just before we play a show. We'll get together and play the set list a couple times over, and then okay. And then well, playing live, you know.
Yeah, I will give you an out now. If tensions ever get bad, Jake would be like, hey, JP, I'm sorry, it's just too hard for you to travel. You're out of the band now. Yeah, there is your easy out, you know.
Yeah,
you get back. Ah, you know, coming across the border to and from is too hard. You're out. Sorry.
Well, that's the funny thing, man. We're willing to put up with it.
Yeah, because I'm telling you what. To anybody who wonders if listening to the albums, and again, go check them out. Traveler. They're on every streaming platform. They're on Bandcamp. I'm not ending the interview now, but please check them out. But if you're wondering if their limited practice time hurts them, go to YouTube, search for Traveler Live, and you'll see them play at the Keep It True Festival. Knock your freaking socks off. There are very few bands, and I love live music. I think all of us metalheads do, but I hate to say I'm a grumpy old man now, but there's a problem, I think, with a lot of live metal bands that when they play now, it's about doing the Spinal Tap effect where they turn it up to 11, and it's almost like you are living inside the speakers. Like, you can't hear any of the music. Well, you guys don't have that. And you guys sound amazing live. So anybody listening to this, go check that video out. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, that one, I was kicking myself after that Keep It True show. I personally wasn't happy with my own performance.
There you go. Well, then I'm an idiot then.
dude, I don't know. It's funny, dude. Like, you're your own worst enemy.
Yeah.
But, man, that was a fun festival to play.
So, you know, we talk about, the virus and stuff going around. And obviously that's, huge. That's dominating every headline right now. But earlier this year, maybe the glue holding the whole universe together was Neil Peart, you know, one of your fellow countrymen. Were you, you know, we talk about traditional metal and rock. Were you a Rush fan?
Yeah, dude. I mean, I don't think you're Canadian unless you like Rush a little bit, you know?
Okay.
Even just a little bit.
Okay.
You know what's funny, though? And I hate to say this. The first album is my favorite, and Neil Peart really? Wasn't even on that album.
Yep, wasn't even, yep.
Oh, it's more up my alley with the rock and roll, like Lynyrd Skynyrd type, you know. I love that album a lot. But, I mean, there's no denying Neil Peart was, like, a god, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah okay, if... You just touched on, you know, the first album's your favorite. Are there any other, like, Matt's, if you were to say, hey, like, if someone was to come to you, hey, Matt, I want to get into traditional metal. Give me an album or give me a couple albums. What are you starting somebody with? Like, to me, if people ask me, hey, Buick, what should I listen to get into metal? Well, if I'm trying to start somebody in on, like, power metal, I'm probably handing them, like, Dream Evil, Something Wicked.
Yeah.
What would you give somebody if they were like, hey, Matt, get me into like metal?
Oh, geez. Well, I guess you'd have to kind of start like, slow, right?
Yeah, like Judas Priest, British Steel.
Yeah, I'd probably go with like Priest, Sin After Sin, Riot, Fire Down Under, or Thundersteel, you know.
Oh.
Saracen, Heroes, Saints, and Fools. Jesus, man. UFO phenomenon. Or just classic Motorhead, man. Overkill. You can start with that. The list is like endless. It kind of depends if you're into the fast shit or if you're into the more rock and roll shit. There's something for everyone. I find it really hard to believe that I can't find an album for someone like that's exactly. Traditional.
Yeah, you know, Matt, we're almost, you know, the same age and stuff. What is this the kind of music you've always gravitated to, or is this kind of something you found on your own? Did you have a parent or a friend or somebody kind of start you down this path, or something you kind of found on your own?
Well, my parents were always a little more rock and roll, so I always listened to, you know, like Zeppelin and shit when I was a kid. But my guitar teacher, when I was like about 10 years old, I think it was almost immediately, he was like, hey, listen to Maiden. So,
okay.
So I credit him for digging me deep into that rabbit hole. So he was cramming Maiden down my throat when I was first learning how to play guitar. And then it just, you know, spiraled from there.
I tell you, is there a band better than Maiden?
No, there isn't.
No, there isn't.
Fuck you to anyone that says different.
There isn't. Like, I can have a discussion about, you know, like maybe greatest frontman. I think Bruce is the greatest of all time. I maybe would lead maybe towards Dio just for vocal talent wise, but a band that from lyrics to energy on stage to they are amazing.
And just overall consistency, man. I mean, like, you can look at all those classic acts that are still going today, and I can't think of a band that does it better live now, after 40, 30 plus years, that does it better than Maiden. You know, they're unstoppable.
I'm sure you've had the chance to see them live a couple of times, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't know how many, 9 or 10 times.
Yeah. will there ever be a chance, you know, to maybe get into that real traditional Maiden level? Could we see maybe adding a third guitarist to Traveler?
I don't know, man. I don't see a need for it right now. Maybe in 20 years.
Man, that's really an interesting question, too. Something that, you know, me not being a guitarist, I don't know about being in the band. What level of complexity is it, or would it be, to add in a third guitarist? Like, is what Iron Maiden does, is that really complex to try and fit them in?
Well, I think it's a huge help to how they sound live, right?
Okay.
If you listen to, like, Power Slave, there's tracks, like, in the Duelists and whatever, you know? Almost every track, there's 4, 5, 6 guitars going on at once. So it helps them with their live performance because Dave and Adrian, they can do their harmonies while Yannick does the rhythm guitar behind it. So it just sounds full. So it helps with the live atmosphere, I think, for the most part.
Now, do you have a favorite guitarist?
For Maiden?
Yes. No, not for Maiden, for a period.
Oh, Jesus, man. Richie Blackmore, Mark Reale from Riot, and Adrian Smith, Paul Gilbert, you know, all those guys, the heavy hitters.
I tell you, you mentioned Blackmore. I am a huge Rainbow fan.
Yeah, dude. Well, you can't go wrong. Deep Purple, Rainbow. It's amazing.
Amazing. Okay, when you guys were over there on tour, how was the reception for you guys? How was the European metalheads? Did they come out to shows and they were supporting you guys, even with the virus starting to take off?
That's the beauty about Europe, dude. I mean, you can go there on a fucking Tuesday and the room's going to be packed. We experienced that.
It isn't like the Anvil documentary when they're playing in some basement bar and there's like one guy sitting in like a lazy boy.
No, man. It was the exact opposite of that. And I was expecting some shows to be like that because, I mean, you can't expect people to come out on a Tuesday,
yes,
or Wednesday or whatever, you know. But Europeans, they do it right, man. They're in full support. Every show was totally packed, and I couldn't believe it, too. But we got a taste of that last year when we played Hamburg before Keep It True. We played on a Wednesday, and same thing. It was packed to the wall, and we couldn't believe it. Because if you do that here in Canada, I mean, you're lucky to play to 20 people on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to tour the States here?
No, I mean, we played a couple shows, like my previous bands have done, you know, Ventura and Chicago.
Yeah.
Traveling to Chicago last year as well for that Legions of Metal with Bob Byrne. So we did that, but we haven't toured yet. But we have some plans in the works. And
yeah, can you talk about how does that lead me into, you know, one of my last few questions here? How does, you know, best case scenario, you know, this virus and stuff, you know, dies down, even though it doesn't look like there's any sight of that right now. How does the next couple months play out with Termination Shock on the horizon next month? How does, in a perfect world, how do you see the next month and rest of the year playing out?
Well, there's actually things I can't talk about right now.
Okay,
It wasn't totally announced.
Okay.
And we have plans, and
good.
We don't plan on slowing down.
Awesome.
And we're gonna do everything we can to keep rocking. So, I mean, once these things come to light and there's not all these delays and blah, 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 and these announcements can actually come out, I think everyone's going to be pretty happy. So in a perfect world, we'll see you live, man. So
that's it. One of the last few questions I have, I love, and I'm sure you guys have heard this before from any other interviews you've done, the art on your album cover is sick. Sick album art. Who's the artist for that? How'd you guys land on this concept and style that you guys use?
Dylan Barstad, man. I've known him in town here for, you know, 10 plus years. He plays in a band called Cadaver Dog. they have some stuff on YouTube. You guys should check it out. It's just like speed metal crossover type shit. I've been a big fan of his artwork and his music for forever. And I've always wanted to work with him on some level. So when it came down to getting some art together, I wanted to go local. I wanted to ask him because you can't beat hand-drawn art.
Nope.
I hate computer, digital, fake flames and skulls and shit. Toxic barrels and whatever the fuck you put on it. It's so fake, dude. I want to see actual art. Because when you pick up a record, like a vinyl, and you see the canvas behind the art, and you actually see the detail that goes into it, you can't beat that, you know? And I want to keep that going. So it made sense to talk to Dylan Barstad. He's our guy, and we have a bright future with him. He has a lot of cool ideas in the works, too.
Oh, that is awesome. And he did, I'm assuming, looking at it, he's done everything from your demos and everything, right?
Yeah. He's been our guy from the beginning, and we plan to keep it that way.
Matt, last thing I want to ask you guys here with Traveler and, now you're about to release your second album. Are there things now that you maybe have learned going ahead for maybe a third album or maybe touring in the future that maybe tweak or something moving forward?
Yeah, I think, just this touring, like that European tour, we found out a lot about ourselves too.
Okay.
And how to work with each other. Not to say there's much friction or drama or anything like that, but it's a learning curve. I mean, you learn a lot by staying in a van with someone for 8 hours a day. so there's that too. And I think with the third album, we're going to take our time a little bit, not years worth, but I'm going to really pay attention to detail on the next one. And I don't want to rush anything. And I don't think we really rushed it on the second one, but there's points where I thought that that's what we're doing. And I don't know. I'm feeling really good about the third one because I know exactly how I want it to sound.
I don't think I've asked an artist this, Matt. After you put out an album, do you go back and listen to it again? It's like me when I do. I'm having a blast talking to you, but when I'm done, I'm like, yeah, I'm done talking to Matt. You know, I'm gonna edit it a little bit, but I won't go back and listen to it. So, like, do you find yourself listening to the albums once you're done with it, or do you just, okay, that's now, that's done, that's in the past, on to the next?
For the most part, man, yeah, I'll listen to it after it's mixed to make sure we're happy with it.
Yeah.
And then I'll listen to it. I'll put it on repeat a few times to really make sure that we're happy with what we did. And you get a little obsessed with it because, like you were saying before, in the recording process, I mean, there's points where you're just not never happy, no matter how good you think it sounds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll go back and listen to it. I've listened to it in headphones now, which I haven't done before. And but after the recording process, like, it's just beaten into your brain for so long to where you never want to hear it ever again.
Now, so, I'm about to ask you, you mentioned earlier your girlfriend or wife is, not to speak for her, but is she sick of it since you do all the recording and all the stuff at your house, leading up to this? Is she just, she loves you. Is she just sick of hearing, like, Shaded Mirror over, like, the 100th damn time over and over again?
She's actually right beside me.
I say, I tell him to put it on again, and he says he's sick of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So she might be a bigger fan than I am.
So. Or you know what? Maybe she loves you that much that she won't say it.
Yeah, exactly. She's just being nice.
She's just being nice. Well, you know what? It sounds like you have a keeper there.
Sure.
I'll tell you what, man. I absolutely love you guys. I love your guys' music. This is, in this world, we need more feel-good stuff. This is definitely feel-good music. I'm drawing a blank right now. What one of your guys' tracks, I don't know if it's off the first album or second, is almost like a heavy metal anthem. I can't remember what song it was. It's like an anthem for being a metalhead that I just love.
Off the second album or first album?
I think it's off the first album. I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, shit, dude. Heavy metal anthem.
Or the second one. I'm drawing a blank, but it's almost just like, it's like, yeah, this is what being a metalhead's all about. It's just like, it defines just like why I love heavy metal music. But because I can't think of it.
I guess that would be subjective to whatever. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of people that have their favorite tracks, and I've heard people name a number of songs like an anthem type song. So I'm really not too sure.
You know what though? Because I can't think of it, just go listen to Traveler. Anybody listening to this right now, start with when you do hear the album, I would recommend obviously going on. Can't tell anybody how to spend their money, but go buy it. Matt, I have to ask because I'm a vinyl head. Like your first album, it sold out before I could buy it, but I just saw it's back in stock. Will this be coming out on vinyl?
Yep, it'll be out on all formats, man.
Yes.
So whenever they decide to, or I guess it's released April 24th.
April 24th, yep.
Yep, April 24th, and it'll be released on all formats, and you shouldn't have a problem getting it. I mean, Enrico and Brigida over at Gates of Hell are really good with keeping everything stocked, and even when it sells out, they're right away pressing another.
So. I see Gates of Hell there in Italy themselves, it looks like.
Yeah, they're in the red zone, man. So they could use some help. And it's funny, they released a statement about people being worried about ordering shit from there, but it's really not a problem. So if anyone's worried about pre-ordering from them, everything comes directly from the factory, so it's not.
Yeah,
everything's clean. It's not a problem. So, it's totally granted that people would be a little nervous about it, but with working with them firsthand, I can assure everyone it's totally safe. So
yeah, that's actually a really good point, because people like myself and just others, I have a weakened immune system, but just people in general, people are just generally concerned, anxious, and nervous. So
yeah. That's
actually a really good point you bring up, because you know we all hear various things. Hey, this lives on surfaces for so long. So that's a great point that you bring up.
Yeah, man. I think everyone's gonna be happy once they get them in their hands. So
Matt, I'm gonna put you on the spot. Last question here. Favorite Iron Maiden song? I'll go first to give you a second to think. Mine's Rhymer the Ancient Mariner.
Oh fuck, dude. that might be my favorite one too. But you know what? I'll go with 22 Acacia Avenue.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's a banger.
Yeah.
Okay. Since Maiden does it, the Wicker Man, Blood Brothers. Will we ever see like a operatic like chorus that we can all sing along? Will we get that from you guys?
Maybe, man. I mean, you might even hear it in this next one too. Did you hear the whole album?
I did. This is a tease for people listening.
Oh shit. Okay. yeah, dude. I mean, the sky's the limit, man. I mean, we got lots of ideas, and you might hear that from us. So.
Right. Yep. Matt, I love what you guys do. Thank you for getting off the plane, you know, a day or two ago and sitting down talking with me in quarantine. I wish your family, you and your girl, the best. I wish all you guys the best. Everybody in Canada, everybody around the world, please continue to stay safe, and you know, keep a head on your shoulders. Don't be out there. You know, take advice from, you know, officials, even though sometimes we think our officials are stupid or whoever. Just, you know, use our heads, wash your hands. You know, don't be dumb here around with times like this. Matt, again, you want to, like, I'll give you the last word, buddy. Any links, anywhere people could check you guys' stuff out?
We just got our YouTube channel. We got our Instagram, Heavy Metal Traveler. Facebook, just Traveler. We got our Big Cartel page that you can find where you can buy merch. Granted, I got to update all that now that we're back, so I got to put everything up on the store. But you can still buy stuff on our Bandcamp page through our label. And you're going to see some new cool merch and all the new album and everything, man. So I just want to thank you all for having me, dude. You're cool as hell. So.
I appreciate it. And for anybody wondering who may have stumbled upon this, no, this is not Blues Traveler. You're not going to hear harmonica yet. yet.
Maybe we'll do the wizard.
Exactly. Matt, thank you for joining me. It's a true pleasure. I love you guys, what you do. Keep up the great work. And for Nine Circles, check us out again for interviews, podcasts, album reviews. I started a new video game content that's coming out. So for everything, check out ninecircles.co and all social media platforms for Nine Circles. Matt, again, you stay safe, and thank you for giving me the time today, brother.
Thanks so much, man. Full support over here, buddy.
Thanks, my brother.
Man, that's a wrap. We hope you enjoyed it, and now's your turn to go support them, because like many other bands right now, they're really going to need it. You can find them at travelermetal.bandcamp.com and their store at travelermetal.bigcartel.com. Keep up with them on Facebook at Traveler Heavy Metal. And as for us, you can find us on the web at ninecircles.co, Twitter and Instagram at _ninecircles, Facebook at ninecirclesblog, and of course, email at ninecirclesblog@gmail.com. See you next time.